Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah.
The Ragamuffin Band, what a great, great song in tribute to the late, great Rich Mullins. We got all kinds of things going on tonight. We got Ragamuffins. We got Buffaloes going on. And our host, Donald Hartley, has put together a great program for us. But we got some business to dispense with first. We got a caller, and we have an issue that we need to address that's been big news the last couple of days. So let me bring the caller on right now. Hi, how you doing this evening, sir?
Hey, how you doing, brother?
Doing good. So we're going to talk about the Pope's decision to kind of clamp down, not cancel, but kind of clamp down on the Latin Mass. And obviously, I've been knocking heads with lots of people all over Facebook who think that this was just the worst decision ever. I actually think he did the right thing. It was the right prudential judgment. And here's why. I'm a fan of the Latin Mass. I just bought 3 books recently. I'm studying to learn it. I don't know it as well as I'd like to, and I bought 3 books to help me with that. It's a beautiful Mass. There's no question about it. And there's no question it has a place in the Catholic Church. The problem is that there is a fringe in the Catholic Church that's using the Latin Mass as a pretense to deny the authority of the Pope and to deny Vatican II. And that's what's being addressed here in this decision. And Benedict and kind of went out of his way to try to accommodate people who have appreciation for the more traditional flavor of the church. And I understand their I'm sympathetic to their position. But I'm not sympathetic to somebody who calls the Pope the false prophet or the Antichrist or says Vatican II is not a valid council. So I'd like to hear your response on this.
Okay, well, personally, I think it was really bad that it's going to further separate the church and, drive a wedge between loyal Catholics. And I do want to stress that loyal Catholics, because if somebody is calling the Pope the Antichrist or saying that Vatican II is invalid, then they're not practicing the Catholic faith, and I don't care what Mass they're going to, they're not being Catholic, okay? So those loyal Catholics that do enjoy going to the extraordinary form, if they're in a diocese with, I guess you would call it, bad bishops, then they're no longer going to be able to experience that unless they, drive to another diocese in order to, go to the Mass that they're more prone to go to, or the one that they enjoy the most,
Okay.
I agree with you, because I think I argued with you already on Facebook a little bit. But I'm not a rad trad. I live in Magnolia, Texas. I go to St. Matthias Catholic Church. It's Novus Ordo Mass. We got a holy priest, and he preaches the truth strongly and boldly, but I am also, like you said, sympathetic to my more traditional brothers. And again, when I say brothers, I'm talking about loyal Catholics. You're not a loyal Catholic if you say the Pope is the Antichrist, or that Vatican II is invalid, or that the NO is invalid. You're not a loyal Catholic. You're somewhere on the fringe.
Well, sir, then we're in total agreement, because in my particular parish, they have both. They have both the ordinary form and the extraordinary form. And I try to go to the Latin Mass as often as I can. And I am picking things up. I'll be honest with you. I love the Latin Mass. I actually prefer it. But I have some stuff to learn. I still need to learn the language, and I still need to learn the – and I've gotten 3 books to help me do that. Right now, let me bring on our other 2 guys. I want to get their comment. First, Donald, the Catholic Defender, you're on. Do you have anything to add to this conversation?
Well, I was an altar boy, an altar server back in 1963, 64, 65, during the Second Vatican Council. And I remember when everything was in Latin. I remember that. And I also remember when women used to wear veils and hats, yes. You know, those kinds of things too, which I'd like
to see. In my church, they do now. In my church, the women come in veiled. So it's very, is very, very much traditional. And I love it. I think it's beautiful. I think it's absolutely great. So our caller and us, we're on the same page, and I'm kind of being portrayed as on Facebook unfairly by some as being anti-Latin Mass. Donald, you've known me for 12 years. Am I anti-Latin Mass?
No, and neither am I. In fact, on the contrary, the question that, because I had not actually seen what the Holy Father has put out, and I do have to find myself defending him a lot. There's a lot of things when you're dealing with the media, because there is a left twinge of the media that wants to distort things that are said, whether it's political or even religious. And when the Holy Father comes out with a statement or what is presumed to be a statement, sometimes if it's political, come on. But when it's faith and morals,
what he did was he made it to where the bishops of each diocese has sole authority, you know, to allow the traditional Latin Mass or not. You know, that's what he did. And that's why I think that the decision was bad, and I think that the decision is going to just pit loyal Catholics against each other, even more than what is already happening. And, I mean, we are one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church.
Yes.
And it don't matter if you go to an NO, if you go to a Latin Mass, it doesn't matter. We're one church. And as one, together, we're supposed to bring the truth of Jesus Christ to a fallen world. But if we're fighting against each other, we're spending more energy and more time fighting against each other then we are bringing the truth of Jesus Christ to the world.
I do got a response to that. Hold on there, Gray. John, just 1 second, because here in Kansas, where I'm at, what Pope Francis is saying and doing has been what we've been doing all along, that each bishop, going all the way back to the Council of Jerusalem in 49 A.D., nothing has changed in that regard. But, like, for example, here in Kansas, we have, through our bishop, the archbishop here, Bishop Nauman, who is awesome, by the way. He is very faithful and loyal to Christ and the church. Definitely thankful for him. But here we only get one species. We do not get both the bread and wine as
right.
a whole. That's the bishop's, that's going from, I could go on the other side of Kansas City in Missouri and get both species. And I tell people all the time, I was a combat medic in the Army for 27 years almost. And when you receive the Eucharist, you do receive the actual body, blood, soul, divinity of Jesus Christ. So whether we receive both species or not, we're still receiving the whole person of Christ here in Kansas like they do in Missouri. But that's just the discretion of the bishop here in Missouri and that of Kansas. And so the situation is the same. Preferably, I wouldn't mind having both species. I that's the way I feel. But at the same time, here in Kansas, it's okay. I can still receive everything that I'm being.
Donald, he did bring up the issue of bad bishops, and I want to address that issue, because this is an issue of great concern for me. By the way, Terry, you're invited on this show anytime you want to call in. We go just about 7 days a week, and we just recently celebrated our 2000th episode. We cover so much stuff on this show. In fact, we're going to be going over two lesser known saints tonight. But with regard to the issue of the bad bishops, Donald, I'd really like to see the Holy Father crack down on these bishops that are allowing Holy Communion to Catholics who are pro-abortion, pro-gay marriage, and also.
Oh man, yeah, that's a bigger to me, that's a bigger issue than this last decision. Yes,
it is. It is. And some of this abomination of stuff that's going on at so-called Catholic universities like Georgetown, like Notre Dame. You know, how is the bishop of St. Joseph County not remove Father John Jenkins from Notre Dame? These are the kind of things that I think we agree a lot more than we disagree.
And to add a little bit to that, I mean, you had Father James Altman removed and his faculties suspended for preaching the truth boldly and loudly, and yet, like you just said, there's complete sin and abominations being committed, and the bishops aren't doing nothing about it. I mean, yeah, some things just make you scratch your head and wonder, Lord, what is going on?
Yeah. Well, I mean, we've addressed many times.
I got a question. Gary, you're from Texas?
My name's Terry, but yeah, I'm from Texas.
Oh, yes, Terry. Sir. I'm sorry. I thought I heard him say Gary. So you're Terry?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And you're from what part of Texas are you from?
Magnolia, Texas. It's about 25 miles north of Houston.
Okay, gotcha. I've been through there a lot. I was retired out of the Army at Fort Hood, Texas, which is just about an hour north of Austin and an hour south of Waco. We're kind of in the middle there, but on Highway 35. So I know Texas. I was there for – when I wasn't in Iraq or getting ready to go to Iraq, I was that's where I was in Copper's Cove. So, but anyway, welcome to the show, by the way, and welcome to Deeper Truth and fellow Texan. I'm a Texan at heart. So,
and you're welcome to stay on the line and listen to the show if you want. I think we got a good one tonight that I toss suggestions to Donald and he takes them and runs with them. He's our master. We also have another guy on the line, another member who used to live in Texas. He moved from Texas and now lives in New Jersey. So
New Jersey.
Let me introduce you to Mike.
Hi, Mike.
Hello. Open.
Hey, Mike.
How you doing? I know exactly where Magnolia is.
Oh, yeah. Some of the best barbecue in the world.
Amen to that.
That's true.
Let me throw something out at you to see what you think about the Latin Mass. Don, like you, I was an altar boy and had to learn all that Latin. And especially, you know, the longest piece we said was the Confiteor. And I still remember the first three Latin words, Confiteor Deo Omnipotente. One thing we had when we had only the Latin Mass is that we had a unity.
You could go to a
Catholic church in Magnolia, Texas.
Anywhere in the world.
And you could go to a Catholic church, and if you had Scotty's Enterprise beam out switch, you could beam yourself over to East Lower Slavobia or any other country, and you're going to get the same Mass. You're going to get the Latin Mass. Mm-hmm. You're going to get exactly the same Mass. Now, one of the things we identified ourselves with, that you can tell that the Catholic Church is the one true church founded by Christ, was that we had four marks. One, holy, Catholic, and apostolic. And my question, and I'm going to put on the floor, see how you respond to it, is are we losing at least some of those marks, like the one? How can we be one when we go across to Africa and we hear the Mass in Swahili, and we come back to America and hear it in English? It's no longer the same. Are we losing or in danger of losing any one or maybe all four of these marks?
I can answer that in a very powerful way because I've been all over the world. I've been to Korea. I've been to the Middle East. I've been to Africa. I've been to Latin America. Been all over the country.
How many places did they throw you out of? No, I'm just kidding.
None, but I will tell you this. If you know the Mass, I don't care what language it's in, if you know the Mass, you're okay. I mean, yeah. Seriously, whether it's in Spanish, whether it's in Italian, whether it's in Latin, whether it's in German, because I was in Europe a lot too. It doesn't matter as far as I'm concerned, mm-hmm. based on what you were just saying, one holy, Catholic, and apostolic. The truth is the same no matter what language you speak in.
Yep.
I would like to interject. If you don't mind, I'd like to interject just for a second. Now, and I don't want to be, hypocritical, okay, because I've never been to a Latin Mass ever, okay? So when I say I appreciate the Latin Mass during COVID, I watched it on TV. I've read about it, you know, mm-hmm. so and I understand that this was the language of the church, you know, up until the vernacular started being using.
However, it's still the language of the church.
I was converted to Catholicism in 2001. I was converted in prison. I was a gang leader and was converted in prison in a mass that was being said in what was basically a Protestant chapel. Didn't even have an altar, you know. Like he was saying, that regardless of where the truth is spoken or what language is spoke, it can reach out and get the most evilest of persons to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. I totally understand
Amen.
That. But that
Amen.
After studying the faith and you know, getting a little more knowledge about the Catholic Church, I think, and this is me personally, I think that we would be more unified if it was still one Latin language for every mass in the world. I would love to see us return to that. And again, I've never been to a Latin mass.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that because I think that would unify us more.
I think you have that's a very, very cogent argument. I think there's a lot of validity to what you're saying there. So, Terry, I want to invite you because me and you have interjected on Facebook before, and I told you that I found your story to be very, very compelling. I'd like to invite you to do a show with us dedicated to your story and your conversion. Are you open to doing that, a future show?
Oh, yes, sir. I mean, I would love to do that.
Oh, I would love it. People love conversion stories, and we just I've just been doing the story of and it's probably before your time, like a lot of people's time, but the story of Gary Cooper and his conversion to the Catholic Church has just been touching many people all over the world, because a lot of us who remember some of his movies and things did not know about this. And the more I started reading and researching his conversion story and how he ended up, it's just a powerful story. So people love these conversion stories, whether it's John
Wayne.
We've
had some amazing, amazing conversion
yes.
stories on this program, including former members, former hosts. I'll have to tell you some of the amazing conversion stories we have. But now to make a transition here, Donald's talking about reading, and I have been an absolute Catholic readaholic this year. It's amazing. I just ordered a whole bunch of new books. I've got like 15 books on the way. It's become a complete total addiction, because every time I read about one of these saints or one of these devotions, it's like Alice going down into all the little tunnels, and it just opens up. So I was reading about the devotion to the precious blood of Jesus, and obviously Catherine of Siena is connected to that. And then I see this name of this other saint named Gaspar del Buffalo. And my first reaction to that was, Gaspar del who? So
yeah.
we started to look into it and said, well, hey, let's look into this and let's do a show, and kind of handed it off to Donald, and Donald's done his research. And I think he's got some fascinating stuff to bring to us. First of all, I will tell you one nugget that I found. He was born on the Epiphany. And his full name is actually Gaspar Melchior Balthazar del Buffalo. He was named after the three wise men, which is It's just amazing. Oh, wow. All these little nuggets. So what I'm going to do right now is I'm going to hand it off to Donald and let him kind of give his little spiel, and then we can all come back with our comments or questions. Is that fair enough?
Yeah.
All right,
okay.
Donald.
Yeah,
well, Donald, the floor is yours, Donald.
Well, when we first, when you mentioned this, all I got was Buffalo. So I looked up St. Buffalo, or it was with Buffalo, and I found that there was I found the one that you were talking about, because when you started talking about his story, that didn't sound like the Buffalo that I found. And so I looked at both of them, and so I thought I would give a little piece on the first one, St. Paphnutius the Buffalo. Was born in 305. He was an Egyptian spending many years in the desert. He became a priest and served under Saint Antony and became a bishop. Well, the Emperor Maximus sent an army. Can you imagine that? He sent an army to track down Bishop Buffalo. I'm calling him Bishop Buffalo. When he heard about this, the bishop went to Hadrian. I guess he was the local prefect. On his own, he went to him and made a strong profession of faith and would not deny his faith. Being placed in prison, he was tortured, causing him to lose his right eye and hamstrung in one leg. He got seriously wounded in one of his legs as a result of the torture. 40 fellow prisoners would convert to the Catholic faith as a result of his inspiration. Here in prison, could you imagine that? Some of them were martyred, being burned at the stake. Two of his torturers, two of the guys that tortured him, also converted, and they were actually beheaded. He was forced to work in the mines. When the coming of Constantine and his Edict of Milan in 313, the bishop Buffalo, I'm calling him Bishop Buffalo, Paphnutius, one of these Latin names, he was free to return to his people despite being crippled by his torturers. He viewed his sufferings as a glorious mark, bearing them for Jesus, who suffered for the whole world. Think about that. And so he spent his time preaching and teaching to anyone who would listen. At least 546 people were converted to the Catholic faith as a result of the bishop's efforts to reach them for Christ. All of them would convert despite the threat of martyrdom. And so, you know, he fought vigorously against the Arian heresy, defending the Catholic faith at every turn. He was one of the 300 bishops who participated at the Council of Nicaea in 325. He was a champion of both the East and West along of the church. And so that was just a small piece about him, which I thought, I mean, amazing. And it's about what Deeper Truth is all about, reaching out. If we could help one person, Terry, that's our mission right there. If we can help one person through what we do, through our articles and shows and everything. But to the
something
what,
else, another
oh,
nugget
ahead,
that I
ahead.
Caught in your article, real quick.
Yeah. On that particular one? Okay.
Yeah, a little nugget that I caught in your article is that you said his feast day is September 11th, which,
yes.
I mean, obviously in America, September 11th is a somber day. But it also has a history in the church because the terrorists who attacked us on 9/11, they chose that day. It had significance because it was a very significant battle when they attempted to come down into Italy and overthrow the Vatican, overthrow the church, and it was almost like this miraculous win against overwhelming odds that we were able to repel the forces.
The Battle of Oriento? Are you talking about the Battle of Oriento?
I'm going to have to look it up. Terry, are you familiar with this story?
No, I'm not. I'm not familiar with that one.
I'm looking it up right
now.
Wow.
I know that the Polish people defended and saved us a time or two as well from invasions that was coming from the East and from the Middle East. And, you know, the Muslims attempted on a number of occasions to try to overtake the church. the church, it took four centuries, basically, who had a pacifist perspective against Islam in the 6th century, 7th century, all the way up until the Middle Ages. It took the church a long time before they actually reacted to the threat. And I think we're still slow in some ways today to that threat. And I think America is too. I think America is too right now because of some of the lame brain politics that we have. But that's another story.
Right.
Well, John, while you're looking that up, the St. Gaspar del Buffalo, the other buffalo, was born, as you said, on the Feast of the Epiphany, January 6th, in 1786 in Rome. His parents named him after the Magi, as you said, who visited the Christ child, Gaspar, Melchior, and Balthazar. Del Buffalo. It was an apt name for a man who would spend his life on a quest to fulfill the will of God. And that's kind of what we're all on. We're all on this quest, this journey. The Catholic Church is a journey.
Amen.
Yeah. Well, Terry, by the way, I wanted to say welcome to the Catholic Church, by the way. I just loved welcoming. I know it was since 2001. You were received into the Catholic Church in 2001. Wow, that is amazing.
Yes, sir. Father Harold Paulson, I don't know how he did it either. I mean, he got me. He got me.
Actually, the Holy Spirit did that, by the way.
Amen.
The Holy Spirit does it. We're just his servants, or we try to be. We try to be his servants, and to know God, love God, serve God, the old Baltimore Catechism. So that's just something that we strive to do around here. But this story, as a child, Gaspar suffered from a near fatal illness, and his faith-like filled mother dedicated him to St. Francis de Sales, who was, again, a great defender. He was there. I mean, St. Francis de Sales was there bringing back many people who had fallen away into the Protestant Reformation of that time. He brought many thousands back. At a young age, Gaspar knew his calling, and he visited the sick and the poor. So from an early age, he had a care to help others, and that's a big part of our faith, is to be helping others. That's what we're striving to do here, in the spiritual,
right,
to encourage the brethren. That's what we're about, is encouraging the brethren here. And if we can help people stay Catholic, that's just as much a part as converting people too. We are to go to all the world to baptize them, but to encourage people to hang tough, because when you're at Mass, you never know that the person sitting next to you, that this could be their last Mass. We don't know the problems that they're having or the issues that they're having. You never know, and so if we're there to be a sign and a witness and a support to people, man, that might just give them the strength to go another day. And that's what, if we could do that.
Can I add something to that, brother?
Yeah, please.
Okay, because there've been several questionable edicts coming out within the last, 5 or 6 years from the Vatican that a lot of people are, the Catholic Church is the one true church that founded by Jesus Christ. No matter what else happens, always people need to always remember that. Don't go run into the Eastern Orthodox or to some of, because a decision was made that you disagree with. The Catholic Church is the one true church founded by Jesus Christ, and we need to stay on the bark.
No, absolutely.
Absolutely. I would also say that we as Catholics have to be able to distinguish the difference between politics versus faith and morals.
Amen.
If the Pope came out tomorrow and said something to the effect about global warming, that's politics. Yes, we are to be good stewards. We are called to be good stewards. No question about that. But as far as believing about fossils and everything else, you know, oil and all this stuff being the cause of climate change, that's politics. There's no truth to it. There's nothing to it. It's a political aspiration to draw money. That's what it's all about, the fear tactics. And so we need to be – I do believe that there is a reason why if there's any problems about nature, and that is because of sin. But you tell that to a politician. Well, I think that the reason we have problems in America is because of homosexuality and our acceptance of it.
Right.
Abortion is our acceptance of abortion as a country is one of the things that is leading us on a one-way trip to hell fast.
Yep. Terry, I don't know. I have never seen or heard of you before, but I tell you what, you're definitely deeper truth. You're definitely
I'm definitely what?
You're definitely deeper truth. We're deeper truth.
That's the name of our show, Deeper Truth.
Yeah.
So, Donald, going back to your story.
Okay, well, as Gaspar Buffalo, he was ordained in 1808 at the age of 22. That's pretty young.
Yeah.
I mean, very young. He was ordained at the age of 22. Soon after, he formed a society for the laborers and farm workers who came into Rome to sell their wares, you know, to sell. So he got involved in trying to help the poor. He wanted to bring them back to the church. And that is important there, too. That's what we're talking about, to bring back the prodigals and to show them that even though they struggled to survive on the streets of Rome, their lives had value. And that's exactly what we're telling people today. Their lives have value. Jesus loved them so much that he died on the cross for them. Well, Gaspar was caught up in the political crisis, like we are from time to time here at Deeper Truth. We do. When Napoleon swept into power in the Papal States, the new anti-clerical government demanded that priests sign an oath of allegiance to Napoleon. And Gaspar declared, "I cannot, I must not, I will not." His refusal to sign the oath led to 4 years of exile and imprisonment. Many priests, bishops, and even the Pope were also exiled in those years. Away from home, unsure about the future, unable to continue in his many ministries, and in misery over the death of his beloved mother. That's important to us as well. Our family members, faith, you know, I get everything I do, I try to do in honor of my mother. Well, anyway, Gaspar struggled against despair, which I can understand that too. We can, in our lives, can understand that because we too have gone through that. But also during that time, he was mentored by Francisco Albertini, which apparently was a friend of his. And that's important too because sometimes friends help us along the journey too. People help us on this way of this journey. But anyway, Gaspar nurtured his devotion to the precious blood of Jesus. That precious blood of Jesus, by the way, we receive at Mass, every Mass, whether it's both species or you just get one species. When you receive the Eucharist, you receive the actual body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. Well, after Napoleon's defeat, he returned to Rome in 1814 and threw himself into the preaching ministry. I mean, this story of Gaspar here is very much like the story of the first buffalo in 305. I mean, I could see a resemblance there. Through spreading the good news of the gospel, he believed he could help heal and revive a church that had been sorely tried and tested, which we're actually seeing today. So nothing has really changed. I mean, we're still under the same fights. And what you were talking about the Vatican and what we hear coming from the Vatican, I see the Vatican as heaven's royal embassy, and the earth is the mission field. But Jesus himself says in Matthew chapter 13, he's beginning with verse 32, he's talking about the bad seed that was, you know, that has been planted by the devil, and Jesus doesn't uproot everything until the very end. And, you know, the whole thing about being left behind, I'd rather be left behind. Yep. I don't know if you know the story about what they're saying, but I would rather be left behind, because who's going to be taken out first? Those who's going to be thrown into the fire. And then those of us would be placed in the barn. So there
you
go.
Well, Donald, I was not able to find what I was looking for, but there was a decisive battle that was on September 11th, and it was one of the most humiliating defeats for the Muslims that were trying to invade Europe. And it was on that date, September 11th. And that's why, and there was actually a movie, but I can't even remember this. I've seen the movie. Can't even remember the title of it. So I'm going to have to look it up and find it. But they made a movie about this. And that's why they chose the date of September 11th. So I just thought it was very interesting that the first saint's feast day was September 11th. Now, the second one, what is his feast day, Gaspar del Buffalo? Is it his birthday or... or the date of his death.
It would be the date that he died.
So December 28th.
Oh, wait, yeah. I'm looking at Terry was on mute. Okay. But anyway.
So that battle that happened on September 11th, is that the battle where the captain of the – was it on a ship?
Yes. I believe that was what I call
the
Battle of Loreto.
The guy who carried the miraculous medal and was able to defeat all the Muslim ships?
No, that
was... That's it.
The miraculous medal?
Well, I don't know if that's... I know that it was a sea battle that took place that the Muslims were defeated. And so... and I know that the Pope had called for the whole Christian world to pray the rosary. I remember that too, but as far as this miraculous medal, I think the miraculous medal came back. That didn't come around until 1830, when Our Lady appeared to Saint Catherine Labyrinth.
I want to say that this battle happened somewhere around the 1300s or something like that. If my memory serves me correctly.
Oh, okay.
That, I think it is the Battle of Loreto. I'd have to verify that, but I believe that's the one that you're thinking of. But, I don't know about September 11th. But I do recall there was something there that September 11th was kind of the Muslims, there's something about that.
So I'll tell you, Terry, let me tell you a little bit about Deeper Truth before we go. First of all, our blog site is deepertruthcatholics.com, and Donald is by far our most prolific writer and contributor. And then I'll send you the address to our Blog Talk Radio show, and we do shows pretty much 7 days a week. On Sunday, we have a special show that we do on Marian apparitions all through history, over the world. On Monday... Eucharistic Miracles with Dr. Gregory Thompson.
Wow.
On Tuesday, we do a show with Mark Kaiser that helps Catholic men to be the strong men of God that they need to be. Wednesday, we have William Hemsworth, who's really, really good on church history and the early church fathers. On Thursday, we do our Rosary Patrol, where we pray for the... pray for, you know, people online who put their petitions in and ask for things that we should pray for. And then Friday and Saturday lately have kind of been our flex days. We kind of take those as they come. And today we decided to do this. So I'm going to send you the links. And if you will, if you'd send me your email address, I'll have Donald put you on our email list, so you just get our content. And welcome to Deeper Truth. Contribute yourself a member and contribute anytime you want to.
Okay, awesome, man. I appreciate it.
Oh, gosh,
And I definitely want to get in touch with him about doing that show, Donald. I think he has a fascinating story to tell, don't you think?
I know that also a part of Deeper Truth, kind of, you know, St. Paul Street Evangelization. Through them, with Deeper Truth in Chicago, we had some effect right there with helping gang members and that kind of thing. it's tough what's going on there now. But I was just last night, I was told, I was on the news, it was showing that New York is even having more murders than Chicago right now. I mean, what's happening in our country is horrible.
Yeah.
You know, since I've been out, I got out of prison in 2009, and now I'm the president here in Houston of the Brothers of St. Dismas, and we've got a house that was donated to us, and so we help ex-convicts that are Catholic reintegrate into society. It's using the Benedictine monastic style of living and everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And through these guys, I mean, there's ex-convicts on the streets of Houston feeding the homeless, praying for the homeless, reaching out
fantastic.
To gang members. I mean, we do all kinds of ministries.
Wow. Well, get
that's
them hooked
fantastic.
Up with what we're doing here there, Terry. I mean, all those guys, you know, that is fantastic. That's a great work. It's a great apostolate. And if we, like I said, if we can help one person, man, and the work that you're doing there, that's fantastic. In fact, that's what Jesus wants. If you look at, if you remember Matthew chapter 25, beginning with 32, I believe, 35, he's talking about, you know, blessed are they who do these things, who feed the hungry, who heal the sick, who visit the imprisoned. You know, that's a very important part
Amen.
Of it. So that's a part of our ministry, apostolate.
Terry?
Yes, sir.
If you want to turn this show into a movie, I have a video production studio. So we can make that
okay.
happen. And by the way, welcome home.
Exactly.
Hey, God bless. Hey, I need to send you my book, and you can make a movie out of that for sure.
Oh, I definitely want to do a show about it. So I just messaged you the two links to the blog and to the show, and I'm going to send your profile to Donald so he can have – Donald, you may already have him. Donald basically has every Catholic in the world on his – yeah, he is
okay.
the Catholic defender. I mean, that's who he is. But let me just to be sure.
Yeah, just send me his email information, and I'll be more than happy to bring that in there.
Send you my email right now.
Oh, gosh. Conversion story. What was you beforehand, by the way? Well, you said you were converted. You became Catholic. What was you before?
I was a gangster.
Well, I mean, were you brought up in a faith experience at all when you were growing up?
So the little bit of Christianity that I did know was Protestant, very anti-Marian. But, I mean, I believed in God, but I was 100% the gang.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And now
you
were
God
gang.
Yeah. You joined the new gang.
Right.
You joined the new gang. Oh my goodness.
Yes, sir.
We've done so many things on this show. We just recently. I'll send you the link to a show that we just did recently, our 2000th episode that we enjoyed so much. We've done so many different things and creative things, so many shows, so many guests, so many different topics and programs. It's amazing. And we just did a 2000th episode, and as part of our 2000th episode, Donald actually debated the devil. You're gonna love it. I'm gonna send you the link.
What? I got to hear that. I got to hear that one, yes.
Well,
debated the devil.
I think he won, but that's just my personal opinion. What do you think, Mike? I think Donald won.
Well, I think he won hands
down.
But in all fairness, though. in all fairness, yeah, he did get an assist from Mother Mary, so we do have
unlike a certain fellow from Georgia, Donald didn't fiddle around with him.
What's crazy? We all debate with the devil every single day. You know what I mean?
Well,
yes, we do.
Every day.
That was kind of the point of why we did it.
I got to hear that. I got to hear it.
I'm looking it up right now. I'm going to send it to you.
Yes,
Terry, do you have the internet, by the way? I obviously you do. If you go to the Catholic Defender, the Virgin Mary and the Conversion of Claude Newman, I would love for you to take a chance when you get a chance to take a look at that.
I'll find that show. I'll find that particular show. I'll send you the link to that particular show. Just give me a minute to find it. Just hold on
a
second. Right now,
the Virgin Mary.
Is that
the convict? Yes. The Virgin Mary.
Yeah, I heard that story. Where did I hear that? Oh, on the Catholic talk show. They did a story about it.
Yeah, they got it from us. We did this on our radio show as well as on this article, and I think you'll love the story.
I just sent you the link to our 2000th episode. I think you're gonna love it. I think it was, and we also did something when we first started years ago. I'll send you a link to. We did about an hour-long special, an investigative special into the actual birth date of Jesus Christ. We wanted to see where the actual evidence led, and we were kind of surprised at what we found. We were very surprised. I'll send you that, too, when I got a chance.
Yeah.
Okay. This is awesome.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun. You're gonna see there's a lot of people, past, present, that have been involved with Deeper Truth over the 12 years, and we have a lot of fun, and it's just people that are passionate about their Catholic faith, and just love Jesus with all their heart and love Mary and just want to get the word out about how beautiful our faith
Amen.
Is.
Amen.
Wow.
Amen. And you know, and really, it really saddens my heart that. That the one holy Catholic and apostolic faith is not as unified as it should be. You know, I mean, there's a billion Catholics in this world, you know, mm-hmm. thereabouts. And if we was all on one page as far as the gospel of Jesus Christ, we would make a very significant change in this world.
Remember what I just
light one candle at a time.
Remember what I just pointed out too. One of the things I just pointed out to is Matthew chapter 13. That's something that we will have to contend with, that there are bad seeds.
Yes, sir.
So we cannot do not forsake Peter because of
the sake of Judas.
Judas, because of
Judas.
Hey,
Mike.
Right.
Mike, would you do me a favor?
What's that?
Would you make the official proclamation that Terry Delp is now an official member of Deeper Truth? Would you make the proclamation for us?
Absolutely.
What was the last name?
Delp.
It's yes, sir, Delp.
How do you spell that?
It's D as in Delta, E as in Echo, L as in Lima, P as in Papa.
Could you repeat that?
D-E-L-P.
Like Brad Delp, the
yeah.
singer with Boston, felt the same.
Well,
he
that is the same. We are not related, but yes. That is the same.
It's like help, only it's a D instead of an H.
Correct.
He used That's a right. military. He used military there. Delta, Echo, Lima.
I noticed.
Papa.
I noticed.
I was like, yes.
All right. So Mike will now make the official
good old phonetic
proclamation.
Alphabet.
Well, I'm a highway inspector by trade, so.
Okay.
Outstanding.
Well, that'll you'll be good at putting people on the right highway.
That's right. They need to follow that little bitty road, not the big one.
Right.
Yeah. The azimuth straight, the glazetic compass. There you go. Well, I tell you what, this was very good, very good. And, you know, I was kind of surprised by this, John, because I thought you was bringing this guy from England that is wanting to debate the Catholic Church.
Well,
but you brought in a ringer.
I was going to bring that guy, but listen, and I'm going to be – by the way, we've had almost 25 actual debates on the show, and I don't mean with the devil. I mean with actual people on – and I don't think any of them have been particularly close. I mean, some of the opponents – we've had two of our opponents actually came to us and admitted that we just thrashed them in the debate. They admitted it. And one of them actually – we beat him so bad in the debate that he converted to the Catholic faith as a result. How incredible is that?
Oh, wow. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. But this guy
– Well,
I was –
John, I think you had mistaken my identity because you actually invited me on to debate about the decision about the Latin Mass, and I'm like,
yeah, we're on the same page.
I'm a Latin.
I think maybe we were not understanding each other, but we're absolutely on the same page. But this guy from England wants to debate me on the identity of the Whore of Babylon, and we've had debates on this before. And despite
what
you may have heard, it is not the Catholic Church. Okay?
No, it is. I believe it was Nero was the one they were talking about in Revelation.
Well,
you're talking
about
the Antichrist.
The Whore of Babylon
is
the city of Jerusalem. It hands down, we've proven it in debates before. We've shown with the Bible that it's the city of Jerusalem, and the Antichrist, the beast, is Nero. Is Nero.
Nero, right.
But we were going to debate this guy, and unfortunately, his daughter has come down with COVID. So it just kind of postponed it. We're still going to do it. It just kind of postponed it, but we need to keep his daughter.
If you don't mind, even though he's an opponent, obviously, of the Catholic Church, can we say a Hail Mary for his daughter real quick?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Would you lead us in that?
Sure. In the name of Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father,
Amen.
Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.
Donald, Terry's just kind of stepped right in, hasn't he?
Certainly.
I think he's going to be a natural fit here. What do you think, Mike? I think he's going to be a natural fit.
He already is.
Yeah. You're going to love what we do. We have a lot of fun. We cover a lot of topics. Me and Donald have done some great stuff. And Mike and Judy and Joseph and just everybody, as Dr. Greg, he just put out some great stuff. It's kind of funny because we were doing a series. We did, I think, with three parts, wasn't it, Donald, on Saint Bernadette and Lourdes. And I mean, it really moved my heart because I got a daughter that I named after Saint Bernadette. But during this whole series, I was just getting sicker and sicker and sicker while we were doing the series, but I was just kind of muscling through it. Come to find out a couple of days after we finished it, I wound up in the emergency room. I had COVID. So.
That's right.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But it was good. It was good. He got over it. I'll tell you what, there tomorrow night with John Carpenter, he's my co-host on Sunday nights, and we're going to be going to Garibaldi, Spain, where the Virgin Mary appeared in the 1960s. Very powerful story, and probably will take us 2 or 3 weeks to get through there because the story, there's just so much to cover. And so Garibaldi, Spain, the Virgin Mary appearing in the 1960s. So I invite everybody here to come to that wonderful, wonderful story. True story. when our, you know, it says in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 17, that it shall come to pass in the last times he would pour out his spirit upon all flesh. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Indeed, the handmaids of the Lord shall prophesy. And he would perform wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below. And I tell you, the Virgin Mary appearing all over the world since 40 A.D. till today, as well as Eucharistic miracles happening from Christ all the way till today, these things, that's why we've had over 1 million fallen away Catholics come back to the church. See, that's another story.
Amen.
About William. One of the things that they're talking about, the, you know, people who have left the church, but what they don't talk about is people who return. I am myself a revert. A revert is not a pervert. A revert is someone who has come back. You know, I'm a revert. And so I had left the faith. And not because of anything doctrinal in my case. In my case, I was professional baseball was my, that's what I was, I did play semi-pro. I got into semi-pro before I joined the military. But I'm just saying that there's a lot of people who have left the faith who have returned. I've had people who were 50 years away, 40 years, 30 years, 20 years, 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, 2 months. I've had people
yeah.
who have left the faith for whatever reasons who have come back. And
yep.
that's a you don't see that in any stat.
Well, it's about time
right,
to wrap
right,
this
right.
up, Donald. It's about time to wrap this up. We're kind of up
is.
Against it. So we were talking about Brad Delp a few minutes ago, the late Brad Delp. So why don't we hear from him? To close out the show, we're going to hear Brad Delp on lead vocals, one of my all-time favorite songs. This is what we're going to end the show with tonight. Everybody, God bless. All right?
God bless, everybody.
Amen.
See
God
you
bless.
Tomorrow night.